do you find inspiring in your life?
What do I find inspiring in my life? Great question. So, I kind of grew up in a spiritual household. I was raised a vegetarian, and I kind of was familiar until about 8 years old with kind of the trappings of, you know, devotee life, Hare Krishna. We were living in temples. And then we moved from Los Angeles into the, I'm just going to give you a little biography so you can understand the context where I'm coming from. We moved into the mountains in California, like way up in the Sierra Nevada mountains. I went to a one-room school that had kindergarten through eighth grade in one room. We lived way in the woods. We didn't have electricity for years. You know, we were kind of like waiting for the Russians to nuke us, but that never happened. And then, you know, so that was interesting. From there, we moved back to Los Angeles. And by this time, I was like 14 years old. Very interesting. I mean, it took me about one day to realize that, like, I was pretty clueless. Like, I was not cool. I knew that very quickly. I didn't know how to dress. I didn't know how to talk. And then we lived in LA for a year, and then we moved to Chicago, where my dad went back to school at University of Chicago. University of Chicago, for those who don't know, is in the south side of Chicago, which is like a total ghetto. So I went from there to like a 95% African-American public high school, where I acted a different way and changed my haircut, you know, like shaved head, a little part in my hair, big earrings, and like a little gangster kid. But even in that moment, I started to realize some of the things, you know, in those moments, I started to realize some of the things my parents had been telling me, where I noticed the identity that I took on was completely superficial. You know, like in one high school, I'm one way among around a certain group of kids, and then around a different group of kids, I'm acting a different way. But who am I? You know what I mean? There's no like, I'm not a basketball player. I'm not like one of these, whatever these designations that we might put on ourselves, you know, the group of people that we're in. So that was good, because even if you're raised among spiritual people, at some point you have to start to desire it for yourself. You know, I'm getting to sort of the family question. It's like, your parents can point you in a direction, but ultimately your life is yours to live, and you have to find your own authenticity. And then from there, went to, you know, two different other high schools, and ended up going to college. And, you know, then after college, trying to figure out what to do with my life. And then I went to India for quite a while. And by the grace of Srila Gurudev, some strength of purpose came in my life. But then, you know, the rest of your karma sort of sweeps you in. And I got a job and got married and did everything that I said I wasn't going to do, and bought a house and a car and all these things. But there, what inspires me in my life is the teachings of Guru Maharaj, that no matter what your external circumstance is, the Lord, His attentive will, His attentive gaze is upon you. And to really believe this and to feel it in your life, that is wonderful. Guru Maharaj said that there should not be a second that passes in our life where we don't feel we are being bathed in the nectaring glance of our Lord. Because it's the truth. And the circumstance that comes to us and the people that we meet and the things that we hear and we see and all of the situations that we're in life, we should feel is the prashadam of the Lord. It's His grace. And we should remember that in every moment, that within this circumstance is nectar. Wherever I am, whatever I'm seeing, the air I breathe, the blinking of my eyes, every moment, every second, remembering our Lord and seeing Him within our circumstance. And not just that, but seeing the sweetness and benevolence and love of the Lord within our circumstance, no matter how difficult it is. Because there's a jewel that's hidden in the darkness of every night that we might experience. We are to feel the dark nights of the soul. We are to feel some dissatisfaction and some desperation, even I can say, in life. And hidden within that feeling that we all do not want is the jewel of progress. Because progress means elimination and new acceptance. Some part of us that's egotistical and not who we want to be must drop away in order for the golden self to come out. And so as we go through the moments of our life, whatever may come to us, whatever circumstance we may find us in, don't judge it too harshly, because there's sweetness and the smiling face of the Lord behind that curtain that we can't see. And we're being pulled toward a destination and toward a state of being that we don't understand right now. That's the meaning of transcendental. It means it's beyond your capacity to imagine it. So don't live the spiritual life of imagination. That's not going to help you. Don't imagine what progress is and then hold your life according to the standard of your own imagined idea. Let life itself show you what progress is. Deal with your circumstances. Deal with the people and the situations in front of you, because within that is your progress. And I can say, you know, that's a thesis that's beautifully given by our teachers. And I can feel that movement in my life. You know, everybody, no matter what you may see in someone's external circumstance, everyone is feeling some lack and some hankering, and maybe some pain too. Like Lord Buddha said, everyone is in pain, so be kind. But that feeling is not to be run away from. You know, so many distractions, intoxications, you know, wanting to run physically to a different circumstance, whatever that may come up within us. But my feeling is, don't. See what jewel is hidden in this circumstance that is arranged for you by God. And face it without fear, because it is benevolent, it is loving, and it is the key to real progress, authentic progress, not imagined progress. Different circumstances occurred in my life. There was a time where I lost like a whole ton of money just being an idiot, right? And I felt so regretful for that. And of course, you know, you're sleepless, like, And, you know, I started to read these books with a new sense of desire because you're desperate, you know? There's something occurring that you don't want to process right now. Like, it shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't be this way, right? Something's wrong. You know, was there a bug in the universal code? You know what I'm talking about, Vasudev. Like, something went wrong here. This is not exactly how it should have turned out. But there is no bug in the code. It's just right. And I found my own sadhana of, if I'm sleepless, lay there and feel it and smile and remember God. Don't shirk that circumstance. And if you're sleepless again the next night, then lay there and smile and embrace it and feel it and remember God, because you will move forward. I felt this in my life. And so, you know, Guru Maharaj is saying in one beautiful chapter here, he says, live in guardian consciousness. It's a very profound thing to say. Guardian means who wants what is good for me more than I want, and who knows what is good for me more than I know. Can you believe that God is your guardian? Can that type of faith exist within you? If the answer is yes, then there should be no fear. There will be no fear. That's how we live in fearlessness. Because no matter what my ego might say, I don't want this to happen. I mean, what's the cause of all of our fear? It's like, I have predefined a set of circumstances that I do not want to occur. But I know that I'm not in control of the entire universe. So what's my fear? That one of the set of circumstances that I've predefined as should not happen might happen, right? That's the cause of fear. Or one of the predefined set of circumstances that I have defined must happen might not happen, right? So, you know, the cause of our fear is that we want to control our environment. We want to control what happens in the world and what happens in our life. And we're really afraid to leave it up to God. But God is good and God is our guardian. Let it happen. There's something greater than ourselves. We don't understand. You know, our teachers are telling us, you have no idea what kind of wealth is inside of you. You're looking everywhere else outside of yourself, trying to like accumulate stuff. You know what I mean? Sorry. But it's like, that's what we're doing, right? We have all these things like, oh, is this gonna make me happy? Oh, I need some more of that, actually. No, I'm still not happy. This thing. You know what I mean? It's like, outside, we're always looking at, move that thing over. Yeah, just like that. Like, we're just trying to arrange all these things in our world that at some point, like, it's like we're so close, you know, it's just going to make me happy, like, really soon. But I really need this thing. You know, it's just, and it's like, as soon as it is, like, oh my God, I need this. If this thing would just be here, I'd be all better. And it's like, it's finally there. And then immediately, what happens with your mind? It's like, that thing. It needs to move. You know, it's like, it's kind of like a mania, you know? And that's why, like, you hear some of the realized sadhus, they're saying, like, you guys are kind of like madmen. You know, it's like, are we all mad? Well, yeah, sort of, a little bit. We're looking outside of our real self, the spirit, the particle of consciousness, and manipulating trinkets, you know, like pieces of glass and rock, right? Like, we can look at somebody on the, you know, whatever, you go to Venice Beach, you see some guy like walking down in the sand and like picking up shards of glass and, you know, like, wow, that guy's crazy. Like, what is he doing? And he's, right? It's like, that's crazy. But what are we doing? It's like, well, the stuff I want is really valuable. Like, I'm not crazy. I'm like, my stuff is really important and valuable. That guy is, you know? But that's what we're doing. We're seeking our wealth. We're seeking our happiness in temporary objects and giving ourselves the illusion of consuming them and controlling them and acquiring them, right? And then we know it doesn't make us happy because immediately what's the next thing, right? It's like, oh, you got the $500,000 house, or you want the $1 million house. Oh, you got the $1 million house, now you want an island or whatever it is. You know what I mean? People are just like endlessly consuming things, trying to satisfy the emptiness in their heart. But you know, our teachers are telling us, look within yourself. You don't understand what type of joy and nectar is right underneath you. And you're running out in all these places trying to find, you know, acquire things and people and call them your own. But how do we find what is that wealth within ourselves? That's the good news. Go through what you're going through. That's the amazing thing. See your life in the right way. Let progress happen. Let things go. Move forward. Smile. Be fearless. Have faith. And know what real progress is, not like a book idea of progress, but know, like Guru Maharaj said, spiritual life is to be experienced ultimately. It's not to be talked about. At the end of the day, who? Like everybody can talk all day, you know what I mean? At some point, you have to like do it and feel it and experience it. And then when you talk to someone else about it, then you're talking about something. You know what I mean? You haven't like memorized, you know, like, you know, it's like, it has to be practical, real, authentic, felt earnestly, sincerely, with no falsehood. You know, there's no necessity of having an intellectual argument about whether or not God exists or whether or not the soul exists or all these kinds of things, because it's empty in a certain way. You know, you can, nobody's seeking like intellectual satisfaction. Everyone is, it's like talking about an apple, you know what I mean? It's like, apples taste sour and slightly sweet. No. They taste stringent, you know, whatever. I can't even, what's the word, string? Pungent or something? I don't know. Whatever. But you know what I mean? It's like you're talking about what something is that you both don't even know what it is. And God exists. Just eat the apple. Then you'll know what it tastes like. You know what I mean? There's no argument about it. And that's what we have to do. We have to feel this, live it, experience it, feel movement in your life, feel that a piece of your false self is dropping away. Feel some motion. Feel like, oh my gosh, I'm a different person than I was 5 months ago. And it was good. And I'm glad that that happened. You know? So, that's the inspiration of my life. Really, that life is, it wasn't Kickfield, Longfellow, unbelievably beautiful poem, the Psalm of Life. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returneth, was not spoken of the soul. We're a soul. We're not dealing with dust. We are a living unit, and we're moving toward this impossible goal, connecting with the source of everything. That's what we've put in front of us as our goal of life. Like, wow. It's an ambitious, amazing idea. And it has to be lived honestly, fearlessly. Move into it. Fear nothing. Fear no circumstance, you know. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For my Lord is with me. And it's the truth. You know, we have to feel these things in our life and authentically experience the moments of our life. And take the name Hare Krishna. Hare means the energy of the Lord. Ultimately, everything is the energy of the Lord. And Krishna, the possessor of the energy, Shakti, Shaktiman. Like, we have to see this. It's not like one part of the creation is like sort of like stuck off here, you know, somewhere in this like geographic area called like the material world, you know, and it's separated from the rest of reality. Where does the material world live? Here. It's in us. We're the material world. We're the ones who are valuing temporary things and not seeing them as the Lord, as the Lord's energy. We're the ones trying to acquire and control and consume everything around us. We're the ones flipping out when the things that we attempt to acquire, control, and consume don't like jump into our possession or don't stay in our possession, right? Or leave our possession. So we're in the material world. And what Krishna consciousness means is live in the spiritual world. Is it a geographical location? Like leave your body and like go to Saturn and turn left or something and like go for 58 billion light years or something until you get to the edge of the universe and you just kind of pop out and you're like, oh my God, it's here. It's not geographical. It's planes of consciousness, planes of experience. And we have to live in spirit. We have to live in consciousness, Krishna consciousness. That means remember Krishna in every circumstance. You know, one time Gurudev said something so beautiful. He said, all of the don't do's in religion, they mean one thing. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do this. Like, you know, every religion's got like a big list. They mean one thing, don't forget Krishna. He said, all of the do-dos in every religion, like do this, do that, they mean remember Krishna. So Mahaprabhu said, there's two rules, always remember Krishna and don't forget Krishna. And how do you do that? That means you have to see Krishna in your circumstance, in the moments of your life. Don't see them emptily. Don't waste that opportunity to remember God. They're all real. They're all... Guru Maharaj said, when you see the world properly, whether the blade of grass blows this way or that way in the wind, will be filled with infinite meaning and purpose. You know, Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadashya, right? The beginning of Samskara, we've all seen that. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam, right? It means a drop of the infinite, a drop of the fullness, Purna. Purna means full. A drop of the fullness contains the fullness, right? When you're in contact with everything, it's like, yes, whether the blade of grass grows like this or like that, is filled with meaning and taste, experience, beauty. Like is happening at every second. It's the truth. And we have to like build that sadhana, build that capacity to see the Lord, to remember the Lord, and to offer ourselves in each of the moments of our lives. with happiness and no fear. So, there you go.
So with this gem, which we meet in like difficult obstacles, it becomes revealed while you are living through it?
Yes. That's, you know, that's the fundamental thesis of Guru Maharaj. That's the, you know, there's that song that we sing, Amana Durmati Sangsara Bhitare Puriyaya Chinu Ami Tava Nija Jan Kono Mahajane Pathaya Dile Tumi Doya Kori Mori Patito Dekhiya Kohila Yamare Giyaya Jan O He Dina Jan Shuno Bhalo Kotha Ulla Sita Haviya. O He Dina Jan means, O suffering soul, Shuno Bhalo Kotha, listen to this good news. Ulla Sita Haviya. It's good news. The good news is your environment is friendly to you. It may be difficult to believe, maybe impossible to believe, but it's the truth. That's the good news. And Guru Maharaj said, when we're seeing things properly, we will see that even obstacles, even disturbances have come to help us. We are surrounded by friends. Even if we see something difficult or hard, that is friendly to us. Truly, it's not like some kind of hyperbole. It's the truth. Your surroundings are friendly to you. And within those surroundings is a jewel of realization, a jewel of progress, a jewel of reality. And we have to see that. Guru Maharaj said, Vrindavan means friends. When you can see your friends everywhere, you're living in Vrindavan. And that's a deep truth. We have to actually see that. Even in a difficult circumstance, like, you know, we live in an ashram, and I lived in an ashram, you know, for quite a number of years. A few years in India and also in California. And, like, what happens when you're living in a communal setting, I don't know if you guys know this, but sometimes there's like little, I mean, I don't know if that happens here. But sometimes there's little, you know, like, about.
No, never.
Wow.
Never.
That's incredible. But we're encouraged to see, my Lord has put this person here to teach me something. Even in the midst of a personal disagreement, even in the midst of something. Like maybe you just don't like the way that person breathes or something, you know, and he's like, it's like, oh my God. But whatever it is, we have to see that they're inconceivably, I may not even understand it. I don't even rationally understand how there's progress in this situation, but know that there is. Somehow this situation has come to exactly progress you perfectly, exactly as you should, by the divine dispenser of goodness. So it may be difficult, but it's like, it's exactly what you need. Like not almost, like it's exactly what you need. For each person individually, that's the miracle. And within that circumstance lies reality. You know, the taste of progressive life. Guru Maharaj wrote an entire book on this idea, Prapanna Jivanamritam, positive and progressive immortality. Amrita means nectar. That's how it's constantly often translated. Amrita means nectar. means, you know, the taste of existence. But it's interesting, mrita means death, and amrita means deathless. A means like the opposite. So it's interesting that deathless is translated as nectar. But it's a question of, okay, I'm a soul. I don't die. I live forever. Forever is a long time. Like, what do you do forever? How do you live forever? How do you posture your consciousness to interact with infinity, with eternality? Like, that's the question these sages are pondering and giving us their gift. And Guru Maharaj gave us his gift, Prapanna Jivanamritam. How to live eternally in a positive and progressive way. Positive means it's not, you know, there's a tendency towards detachment, like mukti. It's like, oh man, this world sucks, man. I gotta get out of here, man. You know, there's like that detachment mentality, right? It's like, I can't handle this. I gotta get out of here. That's actually not proper mood. That's called mukti, which means detachment. I'm out of here. I gotta just stop feeling this. That's my primary purpose. And then there's the opposite of mukti, which is like one side of the coin, which is exploitation, which means like, yeah, the whole world is mine and I'm just gonna taste it and yes. And then what happens? You try to do that, you get some reaction because you try to eat the whole world. Then some reaction comes in the form of karma and you're just like, oh my God, this sucks. Like, I have to leave. This is bad. Right? And so this is like the two diseases of consciousness is like, yeah! Oh my God, why is this happening? You know, like, right? So it's called bhukti and mukti. It's like, that's like our disease is like, yay! We're just like constantly shooting between these two extremes. And bhakti means the middle, dedication. I'm going to give of myself. That's love. That's sacrifice. That's devotion. So Guru Maharaj is saying, you want to live forever? Do you want to just sit here and like shoot from one side to the other of like bhukti and mukti? You know what I mean? Like, you know? That's like, it's like bipolar, you know what I mean? It's like bipolar disorder. Or orient yourself properly to meet the infinite, to meet eternal life. And that means learn how to be a lover. A lover means, Goswami Maharaj was saying last night, a sacrificing unit. Be happy to give of yourself. And within that comes infinite, progressive taste and life. Fear nothing. Play your part and feel the relationship with the infinite Lord that you have start to progress, start to become real. And let that circumstance, whatever may come to us in our life, let that descend to us and let us happily play our part to whatever comes. Start to interact with the great wave of existence and start to see it properly. Like Guru Maharaj's translation of Mahaprabhu's shloka, we know this shloka, Cheto Darpanam Arjunam Bhavamahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadhu Jivanam Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrita Svadhanam. Purnamrita Svadhanam. Guru Maharaj's translation of this very beautiful word. He said, within every wave, with every point of the wave of reality, you know, not only this plane of perception that we have with our that's created for us by our senses, like, sorry to divert for a second, but if you think about it, our senses are simply perceiving a small number of the waves of energy that compose reality, right? Like, we see like a tiny, you know, bandwidth of the light rays, and we hear like a tiny bandwidth of the sound waves, right? And we feel this and we're like, oh, that's hard. Like, is this actually hard? No, this is just energy. But we have a certain sense of touch and a certain way that we interact with it, and it's like, okay, this is hard, right? So we're experiencing a portion of the giant wave of reality. And within that experience is a connection to God. That's the amazing thing. And if we perceive it properly, Purnamrita Svadhanam, Guru Maharaj will say, you will see that every point in the wave of reality contains a new type of infinite joy. I don't know what that means, but it sounds really amazing. There's a new infinity of joyous experience being created at every point. Fresh, new, real experience. That's the news. So, when we orient ourselves properly, there's always fresh existence coming to us that we can happily love. It means give ourselves to it. Be happy to sacrifice that. Guru Maharaj said, we have signed up to be lovers of beauty. And the news that Mahaprabhu came to give is that beauty is the cause, beauty is reality, beauty is the effect. Learn to see beauty, learn to love beauty, and do that within the moments of your life. That's what we're doing. Jai. And other thoughts? Questions? Okay. Jai Shri Guru Maharaj ki jai. Jai Shri Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Rupanuga Guru Bhargi ki jai. Chaitanya Sarasvara Maharaj Charjabrinda ki jai. Hari Naam Sankirtan ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Vo.
Super Siddharshan Prabhu ki jai.
Jagre. Sing? You sing?
Niharaye Nama Krishna Jadavaya Namaha.
Jai Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Go Premanande Hari.